right. So, I've recently had some discussions about God. Can you trust him? Can you believe in him in the light of how much pain, suffering, and evil exist in the world? If he's a powerful, all-loving God, why don't he just stop it all? Question, I don't know whether you've been asked that, but it's something I've been talking to somebody about. So, do you trust God? Have you put your trust in God? I'm going to look at that this morning. So, a little plaque here. I'll put the first scripture up, please, Andy. Proverbs. Proverbs 3 and 6. Over 30 years ago, I became a Christian. And this is the scripture. There's a little plaque somebody gave me. I keep that by my bedside, so I just thought I'd brought that in and show you. So, Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. So I've already prayed for Paul that God will direct his path this morning and put your trust in him. So it seems the key to trusting in God is not leaning on your own understanding or trying to work everything out yourselves, coming to your own conclusions, instead of understanding God's ways and his plans for your life. So that's the key, trusting him. The very question of why does God allow pain and suffering and evil, it can only be asked, really, if there is a loving, all-powerful God. Because otherwise, why should we expect anything different? So, this different thing I'm talking about, not believing in God, is atheism. The conviction there is no God, it says suffering and pain is just natural, the unhappy byproducts of a universe driven only by a random intersection of time and space. Richard Dawkins, a prominent atheist, on the question of pain and suffering, says this. I'm quoting now from what he said. In a universe of blind physical forces and genetic replication, some people are going to get hurt. Other people are going to get lucky. And we won't find any rhyme or reason in it, nor any justice. The universe we observe has precisely the properties we should expect if at the bottom no design, no purpose, no evil or good, nothing but blind, pitiless indifference. DNA neither knows nor cares. DNA just is, and we dance to its music. As you can see, that's a very dark view of life, isn't it? It offers no hope, no comfort. There's no justice in the world. There's no meaning, no reason, no purpose for our lives. The Bible tells us God created the world and humanity. He has a plan from the beginning to all eternity. It tells us God is all-powerful, all-knowing, full of mercy, love, justice, grace. But he's not indifferent to our pain and our suffering and the problem of evil. Look at Ephesians 1, verse 4 to 7. So, this is what it says. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Christ Jesus, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given to us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of his grace, that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us all the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and earth together under one hand, even Christ. So we see that God is a God of order. He has a plan for us from the beginning of time. Even before he created us, he had a plan. Before the world was created, for all eternity, he has a purpose for us. Question often asked is, why did God create us humans, knowing that we would disobey him? We'd bring sin into the world and evil and all this pain and problem. Why did he do it? So let's just have a look at Revelation 4, verse 11. So, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power, for thou wast created all things for thy pleasure. They were created. So God created us for his pleasure. As a father, I can relate to that. If you're a parent, when your child is born, I remember my first child, who is now 23, I saw her in the crib when she was born, and you just got this unconditional love. And it was, you just had this pleasure, you know, this love for that child that you just, it was just the way that God's created us to love. So they can bring us pleasure to children, but we have an unconditional love for them. They don't always do what is best for themselves because we have free will, don't we? We have free choice. And that can bring us pain if they make wrong choices, that will bring harm to them or terrible consequences, just as it is for humanity when Adam and Eve brought sin into the world. They chose their free will to disobey. So we experience pain, suffering, and evil. When and how will God deal with it? We know from the Bible in Genesis that God created us without sin, but he gave us free will, as I just said, to choose to obey him or not. To trust what he knows, what is best for us, but we rebelled. We were deceived, we ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and sin entered the world, and everything changed for the worst. The consequences of sin were a separation from God, and have resulted in the way the world is now. Nothing is now really as God intended it to be, but he has a plan, doesn't he? So, as Christians, we should expect to not be surprised at the way the world is. If you look at the mess it's in, it's not a surprise to us as Christians. Trials and tribulations are part of life, but Jesus tells us, fear not, he has overcome the world. Just looking at Romans 8:28. Okay. And we know that all things work together for good for them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. We see here that all things, even our pain and suffering, they work together for our good. When we love God and we are called according to his purpose. So obviously salvation there is of utmost importance, to be part of what he's planned for us, to be part of our lives. Trials and tribulations, they awaken us to the fact of our overdependence on earthly and human things. They remind us of the fleeting nature of our life here on earth, as we said this morning. It goes by quickly. It's like a flower fading. They show us our weakness, helplessness, and lack of power over our circumstances. They make us turn to God and reveal our utter dependence on him. I don't know if you've experienced that. I've been, as you know, most of you have been battling cancer. My dependence is completely on God. My time's in his hands. So our Saviour, Jesus himself, he faced pain and suffering as a result of evil in this world, especially on the cross when he cried out to his Father, why have you forsaken me? As he was taking on the sins of the world upon himself, experienced separation from his Father while doing so. As humans, we experience a pain and suffering, not because of our disobedience or the result of evil, but because of love. When we lose someone we love, we can experience a pain that can cause us not... Sorry, I just get a bit emotional that. To cause us not to want to face another day. You know, I've been there in the past. And although this may diminish over time, it still remains. But this pain reminds us that we have loved deeply. And the alternative would be to not love at all in the first place. We love because we are made in the image of God, whose core character is one of love. He could have saved himself a lot of pain if he hadn't created us. But he made us for his pleasure. So I guess the pleasure outweighs the pain. On the cross, Christ had a criminal on either side of him. One mocked him and said, if you are the Christ, why don't you save yourselves and us? The other said, he has done nothing wrong. Jesus said, this day you will join me in paradise. This other criminal recognized that he was a saviour. But it wasn't the nails that held Christ to the cross. It was his love for us. John 3:16, very well-known verse, says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus himself wept at the loss of Lazarus. So God has experienced loss. He cares and he can sympathize with us. As humans, we can cry out to God in our suffering. God promises he will never leave us or forsake us because of what Christ has accomplished on the cross to bring us into a right relationship with him. And he's dealt with sin once and for all, as we've said this morning. So Paul the Apostle in the Bible, it says he had a thorn in the flesh that caused him a lot of pain. He asked God to remove it time and time again, but God says, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So perhaps you've got a weakness where you wish that God would remove, but you have to trust that he knows what's best. One day he might do, but there's a time and a place for everything. We have to put our trust in God. And so when we're going through pain, it might be that it's for our benefit. Our lives on earth are to serve God, do his will, and not just live for pleasure and comfort. Our relationship with God and the salvation of our souls are what is most important, even more than our health and happiness, if that leads us away from God. Our happiness should be the result of knowing we have a right relationship with God, which is not based on circumstances which constantly change. Trusting in God, turning our wills over to him, part of the recovery program, step 3, says, we have made a decision to turn our will and lives over to the care of God. And we've all done that if we know God. And this turning our lives over and our wills, it's done at the point of salvation and your first trust in God. But it's also a daily or even a moment-by-moment decision. Our trust in God should be based on what we know of him as revealed in the Bible. His character of love, faithfulness, justice, and the fact that he's always the same today and forever. He never changes. If you're experiencing difficulties at the minute, God hasn't changed. He hasn't suddenly become cruel and indifferent to you, but is with you and cares deeply. He is in control of all things and wants the best for you. So, I was in church recently with Jed and Mick. We have a little get-together at the cafe sometimes. We're talking about deep things. I asked Jed about the end times, because he's obviously the expert. What are the doctrines? I don't know if you're familiar with this, you might not be, but there is doctrines like the end of the world, what's going to happen, premillennialism, amillennialism, postmillennialism, all complicated things, regarding the book of Revelation and the end of the world. Jed said, well, I've got a friend, an old minister. He said he believes in panmillennialism. Panmillennialism, what's that? He says, everything will pan out in the end. Which I thought was quite funny as well. It's a great way to see things, because you can make things overcomplicated. In other words, God's got everything in hand. He'll sort everything out. We don't have to know the ins and outs of everything, understand all the doctrine. The Bible teaches us God is in control. At some point, all pain and suffering on this earth will end when he deals with a problem of evil. So it's quite, you know, important thing. The devil, the demons, and all those whose names are not written in the book of life will be thrown into the lake of fire. So we have a God in whom we can put our trust completely. Even when we don't know all the answers, we don't have to know the answers to everything. Trust is about trusting in somebody, in something, and we can put our trust in God. The story of Job, we see the devil discussing with God. He's saying, he's a faithful follower, Job. Not if you're familiar with the story. The devil said, it's only because you bless him so much. He wouldn't be following you if you took everything away from him. It's only because of what you've given him. So God says, okay then, I'll permit you to take it away, but you can't kill him. Of course, Job's unaware of all this, what's going on in the heavenlies. So everything he's got, his health, his wealth, and everything, is taken away from Job. He doesn't understand why. And his friends are saying, oh, you've sinned, why don't you curse God and die? Job replies after all this. He says, even though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Because it wasn't based on what he had. His faith and his trust were in God. He knew who he was. He knew God's character. God eventually restored everything to Job, even more than he had before. So we're not at the end of our stories yet on this earth. We can confidently put our trust in God, who is more than able to accomplish more than we can think or imagine, as the Bible says, who for God, nothing is impossible. So I just encourage you this morning to put your trust in God, no matter what your circumstances are, no matter where you're at in life. I've been a Christian over 30 years, been through many things, as a lot of you have, and you learn that God is worth putting his trust in. Thank you.
If you don't do, it's probably worth listening to the audio. Packed a lot of stuff into that, Alex. Lots of stuff he said there in just one line that sort of perhaps be worth listening to again. It's interesting, one of the questions I get most asked about is about the end times, and I don't know all the answers, but I was just thinking when Alex was talking, when I was in Nottingham, I lived in Nottingham for a number of years, I got a job working with Adult Education, who were part of Nottingham University, and they asked me to do some teaching. And I was asked to go out to a community group in the sticks somewhere in the wilds, not Christians, just a group of people who wanted a study on the book of Revelation, would you believe? So for 10 weeks I went out to this community group teaching on the book of Revelation. I still have my notes somewhere, so at some point maybe we'll revisit it. But it's one of the things people often ask about. The end times, what are the signs, where are we at? At some point, maybe we'll look at it. All I would say is don't get so caught up looking in that you don't forget to live for today. That's the problem sometimes. We're so busy trying to look for what does all this mean? What's the number 666 about? We forget about today. God's got it all in hand. I find the book of Job very challenging. When I've read the book of Job a number of times, and I think, wow, that guy had some faith. His friends, I think, get a bit of a bad press. Job's comforters, if you read it properly, they sat with him for 7 days before they said anything. They identified with him. But there's a great verse at the end of the book of Job. It's one of my favourite verses. Job's been having a bit of a moan to God, and God says, brace yourself, I'm going to speak to you now, Job. Brace yourself, I'm going to talk to you. And he says, I spoke about things I did not understand. He has this wonderful phrase in the book of Job towards the end of it. Now I know that no plan of yours can be thwarted, Job says to God. I think that's a great statement, isn't it? No plan of his can be thwarted. Whatever his plan is for you today, did you know he's got individual plans for our days, for the rest of our lives? Each day, he's got a plan for us. Nothing's going to stop it. Sometimes we do because we get in the way or we don't listen. But no plan of his can be thwarted. Thank you, Alex. That was brilliant. Thank you very much.